Tar sands oil ended up being spilled into the Kalamazoo River in 2010, and that is still being cleaned up as we speak right now. What did that whole situation tell us about climate change and our quest to get energy and all of these issues that are sort of all interconnected in some way?
Well, they should have told us that we're now at the very extreme edges of trying to satisfy our energy appetites. Instead of taking the cue from the natural world as the easy oil began to run out and switching over to sun and the wind, which we could quite plausibly do, instead, because you can get rich doing it, some people have continued to insist that we're stay hooked to oil and coal and gas. And if we're going to do that, then we're going to need to do very extreme things. We're going to need to frack to blow up the subsurface geology. We're going to need to drill miles underwater where we don't really know what we're doing, or up in the Arctic. And we're going to need to exploit very, very disgusting resources like the tar sands of Canada, where that oil that spilled in the Kalamazoo River came from. This stuff is the dirtiest of the dirty, the bottom of the barrel. It's the dirtiest oil on Earth. And you guys got firsthand sense of that when it spilled in the Kalamazoo River. It's not easy to clean up this stuff. So, as we fight this epic fight about the Keystone Pipeline, a bigger version of the pipe that's filled in Kalamazoo, I'm afraid one of the object lessons that people across Nebraska and Texas and Oklahoma and things keep turning to is your sad experience there. When Inside Climate News won the Pulitzer Prize last year for their coverage of that spill, I think it helped people realize that this was more than a local issue, that it was tied into this very important global battle.
I interviewed the editor of Inside Climate News before they won their Pulitzer, but after the stories had been published. And she said part of the reason they did the story was they thought that this was a story that flew under the radar. Are there other environmental-type stories out there, things that could bring more attention to these issues that tend to fly under the radar because perhaps they're seen as local issues and not necessarily seen as a bigger overriding issue of climate?
Sure. Most environmental stories fly under the radar, mostly because they're likeliest to affect people in what the centers of power perceive as out-of-the-way places or poor people or otherwise powerless people. Look, most of the damage that's coming from climate change at this point is coming to people who we never listen to. When was the last time you paid any attention to anyone in Africa, anybody in Bengal, anyone in all the places that daily are suffering the effects of climate change? So it's, the rare, in a sense, the rare story about the environment that actually does get out on the ongoing day-by-day degradation of the planet around us is the great untold story. It happens sometimes just a tiny bit too slowly for the kind of news nose to sense, but it's on geological time scale happening with almost unbelievable speed. I mean, looking at this ocean acidification study yesterday, a team of international scientists said it looks to us like the sixth great mass extinction in the planet's history is already well underway.
You mentioned the Keystone XL pipeline. The congressman who represents this area, Fred Upton, is the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and he has been calling for the Keystone pipeline to be approved. Recently, he wrote that the State Department found that without the pipeline, the oil sands will find their way to markets by other means of transportation, which could actually produce a larger carbon footprint. And he goes on to say that the bottom line is that regardless of a new carbon litmus test, this abundant energy resource will be developed. What would you say to that as someone who opposes the pipeline?
I think he's empirically wrong. The Canadians and their fans like Mr. Upton have been saying, oh, they'll just build another pipeline to the Pacific Coast and get the oil out that way. But people in the Pacific Coast blocked that. The British Columbians said, no way are you going to build a pipeline here. They and First Nations people across Canada were successful in stopping that. And TransCanada, who wants to build the Keystone Pipeline, said, oh, well, then we'll build a pipeline to the east coast of Canada. They don't really want to do it because the Maritimes are further away from China than they want to be, but they said, we'll do it. So much opposition to that already that they announced yesterday that there's a year's delay already in that pipeline proposal. I bet it never gets built. Congressman Upton is the perfect example of the person who should know better. This was a man who acknowledged climate change for a long time. Then the Tea Party took over, and he wanted to be chair of the Energy Committee, and he went back on all his understanding of science. He's the kind of example of why I think Americans have contempt for politicians these days.
A former Republican Congressman, Bob Inglis, who represented part of South Carolina, was recently interviewed on our station. He agreed that climate change is real, but he says he wants a more market-based approach to fight it. He proposes a tax on carbon emissions while reducing other taxes, and he says that would be preferable to multiple regulations. Is that doable?
I think that basically environmentalists have for 25 years called for a serious price on carbon. I mean, it's outrageous that this is the only industry that's allowed to pollute for free. In essence, Exxon owns the sky. They're allowed to put as much carbon as they want into the atmosphere at no cost, even though it's the most dangerous thing we know about now on the planet. And so I think former Congressman Inglis is exactly right about this. He's just not getting much traction in Washington because our supposed, you know, market-based conservatives and stuff are neither market-based nor conservative. They're willing to do the bidding of the fossil fuel industry who give them campaign contributions, and they're not at all interested in conservation of the one planet that we've got.